Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're with us today. This is the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. But this is the Resurrection Day. And we live for the Lord every day. Thanksgiving's over. Or is it? You know, we went to Nebraska, spent time with family and friends there, and Scott had asked me, well, what are you speaking on this week? And I said, well, I have some thoughts on some things, and I shared them with him, and that's not what I'm talking about. He's gotten used to me, the things change, and they certainly did. Because I learned even a higher appreciation for God even this last week. And I hope you are learning to appreciate God more every day. When we started out on the Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota, we lived in the church basement, and we received a donation of clothes and different things that we would bring to the Chippewa Indian Reservation and separate and hand out. And they would give us a list oftentimes of things that they needed. And I remember quite vividly the one request we got was they needed shoes. Now, I have some shoes. I have my Sunday shoes on now. I have a pair of shoes that just kind of sit at the old at the back door there that I use just to wear to go out and feed the birds. I got another pair of shoes at the front door I use to go up the driveway to get my paper. I have my hunting boots. I got my snow boots when it gets deep. I don't lack for shoes. But those kids did. And when you're in northern Minnesota, shoes are good. And not just shoes, more than shoes. Because it wasn't unusual for it to be, you know, 25 below zero north of Bemidji. That area isn't called the icebox for nothing. It earned its title. And the ice on the lake would be 40-some inches thick. They couldn't even drill through it. They held car races on it. And someone needed shoes. And the Lord blessed us with shoes. All of a sudden, here came a whole shipment of shoes. And they weren't worn-out shoes. These were brand-new shoes. Now, what do you call those shoes that are white and brown? They had a name for Oxfords. Yeah, those white and brown shoes, they were the in style in those days. I haven't seen them since. You ought to get you a pair. Go online. Everything's online. And it was so fun to hand out all these new shoes and the excitement on these little kids' face to get new shoes. And about, it was in a month or two later, here came the list again. What do we need now? We need shoes. You can't wear out new shoes in 2 months. No, my mother took our shoes down to Bemidji and pawned them. That was the world we lived in. Thankfulness. Why did I decide to speak on thankfulness? Well, this week we attended a funeral, my brother-in-law, and while it was sad, it was a celebration, and rightly so. He'd walked with God for many, many years. But as we were out at the graveside, someone come up, I'm going to try to get through this, and put their arm around me. And they said, maybe he's gone, but I still have you. You have blessed me down through the years. And I'm so glad I got you. What a level of appreciation. But what I was thinking at the time was not, boy, how great I am that I was able to bless somebody. My exact thoughts were, you don't know how much of a blessing you've been to me. To see you start out where you were and to grow in Christ to where you are. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's a blessing returned to me. And while you may think that I'm some blessing to you, you don't realize what a blessing you are to me. And that's the way the family of God ought to be. We so bless one another, not just maybe in verbal expression, that may not always be, but a deep appreciation for the faith of each and every person and how precious they are. Something about Roy Rogers by way of trivia. After he made his first movie, he received lots of fan mail. So he started writing letters answering the fan mail. But he was only making $150 a week. And the postage was getting to be more than that. So he went to Republic Pictures and said, I need help with the postage and help with the fan mail in order to write answers, because if all these people out there are taking time out of their lives to write a letter of appreciation to me, I need to answer that. And they said, that's foolishness. You don't answer fan mail. He didn't buy into that. He started going on the road and holding one night performances here and there, for the most part, just to support the salaries of four people he used to answer his fan mail. He answered every one of them. It meant something to him. You know, Black Friday, everybody went shopping. I was up at Holiday Inn. The lady there said, I got to be at Menards at 4 a.m. I said, 4 a.m.? Whatever for? They open at 6 and I've got to be right there. I don't know when her daughter went to Target, but she was sixth in line and they had only 11 televisions, but she was going to pay the price so she could buy one. And you know, you walk into these stores and they say, hello, we're so glad you're here. Appreciate you buying in our store. We hope you'll come back. And I think, is that genuine? Is that real? Well, maybe for some, but I don't think for most. You know, I read of a fella named Harry who owned a small appliance store in Phoenix, Arizona. And people would come in and they would ask all kinds of technical questions about appliances, which he spent his time answering. And then he said, I know that you're shopping for the best deal you can get. And I know that you'll just leave here and go down to Discount Dan's and other places and check their prices. And they sell the same appliance I do. So, you know, I understand looking for the best deal you get. But I'll tell you one thing about being here. He said, if you buy here, you get me. And I stand behind what I sell. And I've been here X amount of years. And I'm going to pass this on to my children to run this store. And we're behind everything we sell here. We guarantee it. So you get me in the deal. Oh, and by the way, as they're leaving, in appreciation for their coming, he gives them a quart of ice cream. A quart of ice cream. In Phoenix, Arizona, when it's 114 in the shade. I wonder how much time they spent at Discount Dan's. You see, sometimes it's not as real as it sounds. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is verse 10 beginning. When you have eaten Thanksgiving, turkey, gravy, mashed taters, pumpkin pie, and are satisfied, boy, are you ever. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when you have herds and flocks and grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, I know I didn't get this up here, so just listen. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. I did put that up there. You know, it's all easy when it's coming in. But then when we have all that we want and we're satisfied and things kind of level out and we're not in some valley trying to figure out what's happening tomorrow and how am I going to make ends meet and this and that. But when everything is just kind of status quo and feeling good about it, what happens to God? He said the tendency is to forget me. But if you do, verse 19, I'm skipping. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. God's looking for thankfulness. And who should be more thankful than his own children? This is Psalm 100, and this is actually my text. If someone's looking for a text, this is what I had in mind, taken from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful sounds. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why should I do that? What is there about the Lord that should elicit such joy and such praise and such outpouring of spirit? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. End of sermon. You can go home now. But don't get up. I'm not done. You know, one day Jesus encountered 10 lepers. And I mean, I can't think of many diseases worse than leprosy. Debilitating, disfiguring, isolating, just everything about it. And yet they had hope in Jesus. And although they stood at a great distance, they said, Lord, have mercy on us. And he said to go show themselves to the priests, and which they did, and then only one returned. And Jesus just asked this one question. Where's the other nine? Why didn't they return? Where are they? How can you receive such good things from God, even to the point of a healing like this, and not bring you back to on your knees before him and say, thank you, Lord. How can you do that? It's so easy to do. In fact, God's indictment against the world, everybody wants to know, well, if I do this, is that a sin? If I do that, oh, is that a sin? That might be. I mean, you know, better look it up. No, it isn't that. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole life. It's every day. It's every morning. It's every breath. It's every heartbeat. That if you're not in Jesus Christ, as a child of God, it isn't about one sin. It's a whole lifestyle and track record of everything that you're about. Figure it out. And so the indictment that he has in Romans 1 against mankind, that he says in verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they knew who he was, they had some idea. Some people just say, well, I think there's a higher power up there. Well, I'd be worried if there was a higher power out there and I didn't know anything about it. Or there's a God that I think he's just going to love everybody. Well, you think what you want, but if God describes himself and you will not listen to him, and he introduces himself to you and he says, this is what I'm about, and you sang about it, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's not negotiable, that's real. He says, for although they knew God, two things, they neither glorified him as God, nor were they thankful. And they became futile in their thinking and foolish. Their hearts were darkened. And they just went off into idolatry. Those two things. They didn't glorify God, and they weren't thankful. And yet every breath you take is from God. Every heartbeat came from him. Everything you own and everything you're about and everything you plan and everything you dream, everything about you and me came from him. God is good. His love endures. He is faithful down through the generations. And how can we help but be thankful? So I give you Colossians chapter 3. We have a couple, three scriptures here we're going to breeze through, but I think they will help put together what we're wanting to talk about and put it in place for you. This is Colossians. Comes right after Philippians, if I get there. This is chapter 3. And it's part of a larger context here having to do with holy living, but we're going to read verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, horizontal, not vertical, horizontal, one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, how am I to sing them? With gratitude in your hearts to God. So I admonish one another, we bless one another in our music, we sing our songs, and we do so with great thankfulness, and in that thankfulness, we bless the Lord in gratitude to our God. And so he goes on to conclude, whatever you do, whether it's word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thankfulness isn't part of your daily regimen. You're missing out. You're missing the point. And I'll nail the point for you now in Ephesians 5, because he brings it a little closer home here. This is chapter 5, and when you read verse 17, it says this, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. Everybody wants to know, what's the Lord's will? What's the Lord's will? If I do this or that or something else, is it the Lord's will? There's not much mystery to the Lord's will as far as it comes to how it references to you, because there's many scriptures that says, this is the Lord's will, and that's the Lord's will. It's not a matter of knowing the Lord's will, it's a matter of doing the Lord's will. It's not a matter of not hearing it, not understanding it, it's obeying it. There's the problem. The problem isn't up there. It's like Peanut said, we have met the enemy and they is us. We're the problem. So let's skip down here. This is what the Lord's will, and he enunciates, gives us some things. And then verse 19, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sounds like Colossians, doesn't it? Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. So you say, well, I'm not doing that. Well, then Wouldn't that equate to I'm not doing the will of God? I think so. I don't think that's difficult to reach that conclusion. That if this isn't you, this isn't about you, you have no interest in this, you're not participating in this, you have no effort or strength or power that you're putting into this, and yet you say, I'm a child of God somewhere. How can you be a child of God and you not have giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ as a part of who you are and your expression of life? I don't know how you do that. Maybe you have an answer. I know that Jesus modeled it different. And when I study Jesus, I find him that when he was going to feed the 4,000, they brought him 7 loaves of bread. And he says, oh, well, here's some bread. How about breaking it up and handing it out? Go for it, guys. Oh, you got some fish? All right, give me some of that fish. Here's some fish. Here, get it out to everybody. No, that's not how it worked out. He brought the loaves of bread. They were given to him. And what's the next thing he did? He gave thanks to God. And they brought him the fish, few as they were, and before they were broken up and multiplied and given to the 4,000, what did he do? He gave thanks to God. When he was at the Passover, and they were sitting there enjoying the Passover, which was the high feast of the whole year, and everybody looked forward, it's like Christmas, and there they all were, and he said, give me that cup, and he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks for it, and he gave it to them, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it up and he gave it to them. He stood before Lazarus' tomb and there it was opened up. And before he said the words, Lazarus, come forth, the first thing he did before that, he said, Father, thank you. He prayed to the Father. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's who I am. It wasn't just something he could do. That's who he is. That's what he's about. He modeled all of this for us. And Paul, in every letter he sent, except Galatians and Titus, every one of Paul's epistles has something in it about thanksgiving. So it's not a foreign subject. It's not hard to find. It's easily identifiable. And it falls right into the will of God for his children. And that is that they be people of great thanks. So it's a matter of obedience. And it certainly alters our perceptions that when, regardless whether we're in the valley or on the mountain, we recognize. Did you ever... Time out. Alex Haley, who wrote the book Roots, has a picture on the wall in his office of a turtle sitting on a fence post. And they said, why do you have a picture of a turtle sitting on a fence post? He says, because it always reminds me that he didn't get there by himself. And you didn't get where you're at by yourself. He didn't get there by himself. I don't think so either. Someone helped that turtle get on that fence post. Psalm 103. Quickly. Verse 1. Ah, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's an old Jewish folk tale that tells of a couple of beggars that sat outside the balcony of the Sultan and they begged for coins. And when they received their coins, the one beggar always thanked and blessed the Sultan and the other thanked and blessed God. And the Sultan thought about it and said, what has God got to do with it? I'm the one handing out the coins. So he said, I'm going to teach him a lesson. And he went to the baker and he said, I want you to bake me 2 loaves of bread. And he baked 2 loaves of bread. And he took one loaf of bread and he worked his way inside and he filled it half full with jewels and precious stones. And so he gave the one loaf of bread to the beggar, one beggar, and with the jewels in it, the one who had been blessing the Sultan. And he gave the other bread to the guy who only blessed God. And he said, that'll teach them. They'll find out where the riches really come from. The only difficulty with the story is the guy who got the bread with the jewels in it thought, boy, this is heavy bread. It must not have been cooked enough. He traded bread with the other beggar. And he got the jewels. And the Sultan says, you know, riches really do come from God. Just an old folk tale. But isn't there a meaning there? Sure there is. There's a meaning for every one of us. And I want us to go away not just praising God, but recognizing that how we relate to one another is so supremely important. How we can bless one another. And your growth in faith is a blessing to me. It makes ministry possible and meaningful. You don't have to come up and put your arm around me and say, oh, what a wonderful person. I like that. Go ahead. Why not? I mean, you know. But I'm not going to pay for it. No. But the fact that you're walking closer to God every day is making what I'm responsible for and what I'm doing as an elder is to see that you mature in Christ and you grow in Christ and to see you blossom. It's a blessing to me, and I hope that we as ministers and leaders here can be a blessing to you. I want to read one last scripture, and it's from Hebrews 13. And we'll leave this up because I want this one to be the one that you take home, okay? I want this one to be kind of the thing that you think about during the week. This is verse 15. Chapter 13, book of Hebrews. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for these moments together. We're humbled to be in your presence. Words do not adequately express the real gratitude that we have in our hearts or should have to know that we are yours and that you are good and that your love endures and your faithfulness is through generations. And we want to praise your name and magnify your name in all things. And that we as the children of God, the body of Christ, the church, Lord, in our relationship to one another, might be an expression of Jesus. To bless one another, Lord, as we grow, we help others grow. We link our arms as one. Bless us to our homes. May we honor you this week, never forgetting to continually to praise your name, and that all of our prayers will include thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.